Well, as I was last night thinking about this service and thinking about not knowing what the Cubas would share, not knowing even if Trevor was going to sing or not, and he felt led to sing this morning, I asked him if he'd sing that song. I'm amazed at how God always brings things to a point of emphasis that only the Holy Spirit can do. I thought I was just going to share one message a few weeks ago about walking in the Word of God. And then last week we talked about walking in relationship with God. And still I couldn't get away from the walk. And I was looking at the Scripture last night. I thought, Lord, what would be the message and a mission's emphasis that would really speak to our hearts in just a short message? It may be a little bit heavier on Scripture and less on preaching this morning, because God just opened up His Word to me in some familiar and yet sometimes neglected passages that I believe that we need to be reminded of in light of this mission's emphasis. It's interesting to me that the Scripture is very clear that there's a calling for us. I want to speak to us this morning for just a few moments about walking worthy of your calling. Walking worthy of your calling. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's actually four references to calling or called in that passage. I think only three got highlighted there. I was thinking about that as it relates to missions and asking, Lord, what is it? Why is it that there's such a white and harvest field, but yet not enough laborers? Why is it, as Brandon and Azumi had shared, this attrition rate of the pastors there in their church and how they have such a struggle to see how God's going to meet the need? And I thought, it's happening all around the world, isn't it? And then I begin to think about some that struggle with a call, or some that maybe have difficulty feeling like they're even worthy of a call. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts that Lord brought to my heart and life as I was reading that Scripture over any time and again. Could I just share with you what God spoke to me? There's been times that I've felt very unworthy of the calling of working for Him. Never mind the Cunningham boys have to go out, but everyone else can stay seated. All right. They just have to go to meet their ride. But He makes us worthy. He makes us come to a place where He says, I know your past, and I know your present, and I know your future, and I know how to make you feel rewarded and worthy in ministry. And I thought, there's really two areas that the Scripture reveals to us in that passage, how we walk worthy of our calling. Because we see it time and time again through the teachings of the Word of God, and it's applied really in this parable that I want to read. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want us to be reminded of it, because sometimes I quote the last verse of application, but I've never really shared it in the full context. It's from Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his own business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." A sobering parable that really perhaps has many times been misinterpreted and misapplied, but I think it speaks to us very directly. That salvation is by invitation. It's the providence of God that speaks to our hearts and speaks to you if you do not know Him. And I want you to know this morning, if you're not saved, that you can know Him. And His invitation comes. Don't go and think that you're going to somehow show up at the wedding supper of the Lamb without the wedding garment. The invitation is universal. It's to whosoever will. Say, "Well, you don't know what I've done, preacher. I'm not worthy of His grace." That's what grace is all about. Because not a one of us is worthy of it. That's the meaning of grace. I don't deserve His grace. I'm not worthy of His mercy. But yet He makes us worthy. And that salvation message, the gospel message, that's why they call it good news, folks. Is that because His mercy and His grace makes us worthy. We're not worthy in of ourselves. We're not worthy of our own works to make it somehow into God's kingdom. We're not worthy to show up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But He, by invitation, speaks to you. And says, you can be saved. Jesus saves. You can be redeemed, as Trevor said. All the doubt and the hopelessness that Brandon and Zumi were talking about, that can completely evaporate, and the power of salvation by invitation that changes us from the inside out. And as great and as powerful as that truth is to our hearts this morning, yet there's something more, something deeper that He makes us worthy of. We're not saved by invitation to just sit around and be in a celebration and worship mode, although much of our life in serving Him is in worship and in obedience. Yet when we think of the Scripture that comes to our heart, we recognize that He's calling us to something deeper, don't we? And when we think of the prayer that the Apostle Paul shares in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said in verse 23, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely," or "through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's the application, verse 24. "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Brethren, pray for us. See, God wants to come into your heart and life to not only make you worthy of salvation by invitation, but worthy of a calling of service by command. The invitation of salvation is whosoever will, but when you're saved and you're walking in the light and walking in relationship with Him by the Word of God, then He comes to you. And it's even sometimes more direct and more convicting, the call of invitation to salvation that says, "Who will go? Who will come and answer the call? Who will reach the lost at any cost?" It's striking to me to think that in each and every situation and that transition from death into life of salvation by invitation, there's a picture of unworthiness. There's many times that same picture, whether implicitly stated in the Word or just expressed by testimony, that I've confronted many, many times over the years. People who said, "Well, you're called, preacher. I'm not called into the ministry." Did you catch the message of that parable? Many are called, but few are chosen. The call is to salvation. That's the invitation to everyone. But the chosen aspect is the calling, what we call calling, to service by command. And He comes to us at really key points and intersections of our life, and He says, "I want you." It's a draft by command. It's a draft where you recognize and realize, God's speaking to my heart. God's speaking to me to answer this call. The service by command is so convicting, it goes so deep that you recognize if I do not answer the call, I will be completely rejecting God's will in my life. I will be in disobedience and I will be falling away from Him and rejecting that true mission. Because folks, we're not just saved by invitation to just sit around. We're saved to serve Him. And if you don't know what your calling is, if you don't know what it is that of how to walk worthy of the vocation of the calling of Jesus Christ, then I urge you this morning, pray and ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do? What would You have me to do? I'm not saying that everyone that's here in the sound of my voice is called to Japan, or called into the ministry, or called into full-time Christian service. I would never dare to say that. I don't even dare to say what God's calling is in the life of our own children. We've always steered away from that. We've seen people who've made that error and drove them right away from God. But I want to tell you this morning, if God is calling you, say yes. Answer the command and say, yes, Lord, I will serve You. Be obedient to the heavenly vision and the calling of Jesus Christ in your life. Sometimes people struggle, not just with inadequacy, maybe feeling they don't have the talents or the gifts, but sometimes they're struggling right with this area of inadequacy because of their own past. Could I ask you this question? Did Jesus save you so that you could wallow in your past and struggle? Or did He save you to transform you this morning? Did He save you by that invitation that came to your heart when you knew and recognized that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed you from all sin? Did He do that so that He could give you a purpose and a mission when we come into His kingdom by salvation, invitation? He has saved us to serve Him. And that command comes not just to whosoever will, but to those who are saved, those who are redeemed. To say, you know what? I may not feel worthy. I may feel like my past may sometimes confront me and slap me upside the face. Let me tell you, the devil, the one that's the enemy of your soul, is also the accuser of the brethren. He does that in my life. I'm sure He's doing that in your life at different times. And He tries to bring up things like, how can you ever amount to anything with what you've done? I know what you did back there. I know your failures. I'm here to tell you this morning that the command of Jesus Christ by His Spirit is one that's overarching anything the enemy could ever design or devise for you. Because He makes us worthy. Say, well, does that mean I need to forgive myself? I'm not into all that phraseology as much as some others, but sometimes you need to just release it to God. Say, you know, Lord, if You've forgiven me of that way back there, or You've forgiven me of this particular issue in my life, and maybe this struggle, Lord, then I accept Your salvation. I accept Your forgiveness. I accept Your mercy. I accept Your grace, and I answer Your call today to be what You'd have me to be. Yes, He makes us worthy of salvation by invitation, and He makes us worthy of service by command to say, yes, Lord, I will answer the call. Remember the phrase in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. It's a phrase that speaks of a calling of consecration, of entire sanctification, but reminds us in the King James it says, faithful is He who calls you. In the New King James, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Could I apply that to your calling this morning? The call is there. And God, by His Spirit, is faithful to provide and meet your need. He's able to meet your need of salvation, sanctification, and service in answering obedience to Him. I would urge you this morning, He would not have put it in Ephesians chapter 4 as an admonition to walk worthy of your calling if it was not possible. You can walk in victory today, not just saved from the penalty and destruction of sin and of hell, but walking worthy of your calling. You can be saved to serve Him. Say, well, I don't know. I'm a little bit scared to even ask what God wants me to do. Just say yes. He'll reveal something. And I can promise you this, just like I've never met anyone who's had regret of giving their heart and life to Jesus too soon. I've never had anyone say, Pastor, I wish I'd waited just about 5 more years. I've never met that person. Neither have I ever met anyone who said, I regret answering the call of God in my life. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will accomplish that work. There's another scripture that says, He who has begun a good work in you will perform that work. Will continue to perform or transform really, literally in your life the work that God has for you to bring it to pass until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm thankful for God's mercy and grace. I'm thankful that we can be saved. But I'm also thankful that there's a calling. There's an anointing. In the Old Testament, there was a distinction there. In fact, those that were called of God had to have the anointing upon their life as evidenced by the prophet of God that would come to the king of Israel, for instance. You remember how the prophet came and stood before Jesse and his sons. The firstborn, he thought, oh, surely the Lord's anointed us before me. But God said to him, no, this is not the one. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. A lot of people misquote that scripture and think that it's something that gives you a freedom of liberty and license to just disobey the Word of God as long as your heart's right. That's not what it's saying at all. The firstborn of Jesse seemed to have, by all pretenses or all outward things, to have the full package of what God would have wanted to be anointed. God said, no, this is not the one. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How do we walk worthy of our calling? By being transformed in our heart and life. Let God consecrate your life and your gift before Him. We shared last week that gift exchange that comes in Romans 12. It's still an invitation to you this morning. Will you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? It may be that you need to be sanctified before God can really call you, choose you for His service, when you surrender all to Him. Are you willing to walk worthy of your calling this morning? Let's stand together and bow for prayer. With every head bowed,